Praise the Lord. Well, I like to get down to the nitty-gritty whenever I preach so that we can just get into the Word. And so my title this morning is Unction in My Gumption to Function. Unction in My Gumption to Function. Unction in My Gumption to Function. Say it together with me. Unction in My Gumption to Function. And Father, we ask this morning as we look into the Word, Lord God, make it simple, make it personable, oh Father. Speak directly to us, we ask, and help us to respond appropriately to your Word. Because your Word, without doing it, oh Lord, is just leads to frustrations. But listening to your Word and obeying your Word will lead to transformation. And we'll thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 15. If you would turn with me there. And I just have a simple, I like three-point outlines that are real simple. So we'll take a look at these scripture verses there, okay? You got it? Tell me, I got it. You got it? Genesis chapter 2. Did you bring your Bibles? Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and then verse 15. Verse 7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. That's 2 points right there. The Lord God formed the man, okay? That's going to be point number one, formed by God, formed by God. And then it says there, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. There we have filled from God. And then verse 15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. To work it and take care of it. Work or function for God. Function for God. So my three-point outline, verses 7 and verse 15, are these. Formed by God, filled from God, and function for God. Okay, let's elaborate on that for a few minutes now at this time. Number one is formed by God. Let me give you some scripture verses. You just need to take down the references. Don't turn there because it's going to take too much time. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16 tells us, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God formed us. He created us when we were in our mother's womb. He knit us together. He put us together. He formed us. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah chapter 18, you know, the potter's wheel there. So I went to the potter's house, Jeremiah 18, 3 and 4. So I went to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seems best to him. We see here in these scripture verses that the Lord formed us. He made us. He created us. Turn around and tell somebody, the Lord formed me. I was formed by the Lord, formed by God. And many of us, we look at ourselves and we are different shapes and different forms. I remember when you were young, you had V-shaped bodies. Then as you got a little bit older, it began to turn to H-shaped bodies. And then when you get really older, it changes to A-frame bodies. It changes. Okay? But we were made by the Lord, all different forms. And I know I shared this once before with you, that we are all made of different shapes. The acronym S-H-A-P-E, you know, different spiritual gifts for S, different hearts, you know, what we like to do, heart. The A stands for different abilities. The P stands for personalities, different personalities. And the E stands for different experiences. But you see, so many of us, we don't like the way we are formed. But God made us, and we need to come to a place in our lives that God formed us. He knew exactly what He was doing. Whether we're short, skinny, plump, tall, very intelligent, a little bit slower, can run fast or not too fast, strong, we can lift heavy weights or not. We have been formed by God. And God knows exactly what He was doing when He formed each and every one of us. And we should say, thank you, Lord. Be of gratitude that you, thank you, Lord, for forming me, for forming me. So many times we look at ourselves and we look at ourselves. We look at others too as well. And we don't care. And we don't like the way God formed us. We don't like the way God formed somebody else. And that's wrong. Because God formed them too. Turn around and tell somebody, God formed you. And that person, as far as you're concerned, see, so many times we compare. And we compare and we compete instead of connecting and complimenting with people. And we say, oh boy, I wish I was short like you. Or I wish I was tall like you. Or I wish I was good looking like you. Or I wish I was smart like you. Or I wish I was fast like you or whatever. Forget it. God formed you and you are who you are. Be thankful and grateful for the way God formed you and made you. And so many times we look at and we judge people according, and it's conditional, you might say, okay? We look at the performance. We evaluate people based on what they can do, how they can perform, their competencies and all of that. We look at that. Or we judge them because of their popularity, how popular they are. And we want to connect with them because of their popularity. I wish I was popular like you. I wish I was being more acknowledged like you. Or power. Power. We value people because of their positions of authority. These politicians, whatever, these presidents or these bosses or whatever it is. Or possessions. We judge people by the car they drive, the houses that they live in, right? Or even positions, the education that they had. You know, look at ourselves and we thank God for the way He formed each and every one of us. Steve Largent, the NFL Hall of Famer for the Seattle Seahawks. He and his wife Terry shared this. She gave birth to a baby boy. And this is what he writes. We were elated over our new little boy. Then the doctor turned him over on his stomach, and I saw the problem. Our son, Kramer, had been born with spina bifida, a defect that left part of his spinal cord exposed. I felt like my world had come crashing down. I thought of all the things Kramer would never be able to do as a normal, healthy child. I'm convinced now that there's only one way I was able to handle my initial pain and disappointment, and that's with God's help. I want Kramer to grow up and know that his mom and dad could joyfully accept his birth because we realize God created him, accepts him, and loves him just as he is. That perspective, that lens, is what enabled us to overcome our blitz. And what will help Kramer to overcome his? Some of you remember Nick Vujicic, an Australian who was born limbless, no arms and no legs. He could have felt sorry for himself. And yes, at one point he felt sorry for himself. And he said, Lord, why did you make me this way? Why did you form me this way? Until he came to a place of accepting that God made him the way he was. And you know, we hear the reports that over hundreds of thousands of people have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord because of his testimony. God formed him. God made him. And yet God used him in a mighty way. I was reading the newspaper this morning, early in the morning, and I noticed two different individuals, one by the name of Nolan Madriaga, born in Maui. Small little kid, born in Maui, and he had a desire to become a pilot. And he became a small little guy. And people call him and say, 35, you're too young to be a pilot. But he's flying now for Hawaiian Airlines. I saw another one, a beautiful young lady by the name of Veronica Pomee. Heavyset Tongan woman, and she's now a model for Sports Illustrated. And you might say, you know, you never could be a model when you're kind of heavyset, you know, the large size people and all of that. Here she was, a model, a Tongan model, heavyset for Sports Illustrated. She could grumble and complain, oh, I'm not as slim and well-figured like all the other ladies, but hey, look at her today. And I believe that some of us sometimes, even today, we struggle because we're not as pretty or as smart or good-looking or fast or whatever as somebody else. I want us to come to a point where we thank God he formed me. He formed me. Formed by God. Formed by God. We come to realize God wants, you know, he made you. There's nobody ever on a planet Earth that's going to ever be like you. You're one of a kind. You're unique. There's not going to be any. Ever since creation and until the time Jesus comes back, there will never be anyone like you, formed like you. Thank God. Turn around and tell somebody, thank the Lord I'm not formed like you. But thank God that I'm the way God formed me to be. Thank the Lord for that. Some of you wish you were not the race that you're at. You're in. You know, when I was young, I wanted to be Hawaiian. But God gave me small eyes, and the Puerto Ricans used to tease me, say, "Hey, Togo. Can you see when you smile? When you turn this way to see his telephone pole? Put toothpicks in your eyes and all that." I felt bad about it for a long time. I said, boy, I wish I had big eyes. So when I took pictures, the class pictures, you know, I opened up my eyes way up like that or whatever. But we need to thank the Lord. Praise God. God made us different forms and different capacities. Notice the different forms of containers, different types and shapes of containers. Some big and round, some tall and skinny, some whatever like that. Whatever it is. But we're made by him. We're formed by God for him to fill us. Secondly, we are filled from God. We are filled from God. I look at Psalms 23 and I look at that and I say, man, God fills us. He fills this container. He fills this container that he made. He fills us. You know, when you look at Psalms 23, he fills me with his protection. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. He fills me with his provisions. Jehovah Jireh, I shall not want. He fills me with his peace. Jehovah Shalom, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He fills me with his righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He fills me with his presence, Jehovah Shammah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He fills me with his victory, Jehovah Nissi. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You are my banner, Lord. And he fills me with his anointing, Jehovah Makedesh. You anoint my head with oil. You fill me with provision. You fill me with protection. You fill me with your oil. You fill me with your love. You fill me with your grace. Ezekiel 36, 26 tells us, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Ezekiel 37 verse 6 tells us, I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You look at the fruit of the Spirit, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Who puts this in us? We are containers and God wants to fill us with his love, his joy, his peace, his gentleness, his goodness, his kindness, his faithfulness, his self-control in each and every one of us. What we need to do is increase our capacity so that he can fill us with even more. When you look in the Word of God, there's many examples where there's pots or containers or jars that God will fill up, fill and fill and fill until they run out of jars, until they run out of containers, until they run out of whatever you have, buckets or whatever. But if there's buckets, if there's jars that are available and it still needs to be filled, God will fill it. And so I pray that we would increase our capacity to receive more from God. That's what we need to do. What are we doing to increase our capacity for more of him and to allow him to fill us up, to fill us up? And notice, you can determine and you can decide what you're going to be filled up with. If you fill up yourself with bad stuff, those toxins are going to come out. But if you fill yourself up with good stuff, that will be reflected in your life, in your thinking, in your words spoken, and in your action. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In the Greek, there is continuously being filled with the Spirit. Don't run out. Don't run out. Don't run out. Isaiah 10:27 tells us, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. You know that God wants to anoint us? He wants to anoint us every day. Every day when you get up in the morning, God wants to anoint you afresh and anew. He doesn't want you to use old anointing. You look at moms of, you know, you who love to cook, fry food or whatever like that. You use oil, fresh oil, right? Do you, after you cook, save the oil for next week's cooking? The food doesn't taste as good then. You throw it away, right? You want fresh oil for new cooking. And that's the way it is with the Lord. Every day is a new day. You need a new anointing. And the anointing, church, is not for you. It's for him to use. You know why he needs to anoint us daily? Because the flesh stinks. I go back to the story about Esther. When she had the perfume, for one whole year, she bathed in special oils and perfumes, spread it all over her for 1 year so that she could stand before the king and win his heart and be chosen as queen. And what happens to us is this. Sometimes we go around and when you put on your perfume, who do you put on the perfume for? When Esther had put on the perfume, it was a perfume from the Lord, from the king. For her, no, for the king. What is the king's favorite perfume? She wore that. And so when the guys smelled Esther past her, "Ooh, Esther, wow, you smell so good. Can we go out?" Esther would say, "Hey, this perfume is not from you and it's not for you. It's for the king." Who do you put on a perfume for? Some other guys? Or guys, you put on your cologne for some other woman? No, it's for your husband or your wife. That's the main thing. Likewise with God, we are anointed by God. We get anointed not to be highlighted as a worship leader, as a preacher, as a teacher, as a singer, or whatever it is. We are anointed because the flesh stinks. And we are anointed, and he fills us with his spirit for his sake, for his glory. And that's why he fills us. He fills our tank. You know, I go back. You know, we sing that song, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord." Why only a cup? "Fill my tank, Lord. I lift it up, Lord." I mean, we look at this, that he, you know, I've learned over the period of time with all my testings and challenges. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 tells us, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." New mercies every morning. New mercies every morning. Different kind of mercy for a different kind of a day. He fills us with his grace and his mercy every day. I remember singing a song when we were kids. "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning." You remember the song? "Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp to keep me burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing." You know, you get songs again. Okay, turn it around. It says, "Give me unction in my gumption, let me function. Give me unction in my gumption, I pray. Give me unction in my gumption, let me function, function, function. Give me." It's that. And what it is this. Formed by God, filled from God, to function for God. To function for God. God wants us to function for him. Your belief determines where you will spend eternity. Your behavior is how you will spend eternity. Belief, behavior. Remember, we are saved by grace. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace, okay? But our belief, yes, determines where we will spend eternity. But I want to focus on our works today, okay? Each one of us, because you have been saved, because you have been redeemed, and I trust that all of you here, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, because your belief will determine your eternal destination. But every one of us will be judged by our works. Ecclesiastes 12:14 tells us, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Revelations 20:13 tells us, "The sea gave up the dead and they were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done." God will judge each of our works. Each. Aren't you in each? Turn around and tell somebody, "I'm in each." And you're in each too as well. He said in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone, everyone, according to what he has done." Belief determines how we behave too as well. Desire to turn from God and follow him. Because we are born again, because we have been saved by grace, we want to follow him, obey him. Okay. How many of you say, "I believe in tithing," but you don't tithe? Belief affects your behavior. If you believe, you're going to behave that way. Your behavior reflects on your belief. How many of you believe in bathing, taking a shower, but you don't do it? No. So it has to follow. Let me share with you about the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment. Believer's judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Romans 14:10 tells us, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 that we were going to be judged. Whatever we do, believers are going to be judged. And the degree of your rewards, the rewards that you receive, is going to be according to the works we have done here on earth. Yes, what we do here on earth will be judged. The good that we do to others, the good we do with, you know, for people around us, we tithe, we do all of that, come to church, we teach the Sunday school class or whatever we do. They all will be judged by the Lord. He examines our hearts and he judges us. Notice, that's the judgment seat of Christ is for believers. And there's some believers, and that's why it's so good to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord when you're young, and then you can do a lot of good deeds for him. Remember, good deeds will not save you, but because you are saved, you do good deeds. And how many people, you know, you like to go to a, you know, somebody gave you, or, you know, you got tickets to go to Disneyland. And hey, you get into Disneyland, but you don't ride the rides or eat the food. You just barely made it into Disneyland, and that's it. And some Christians, what's going to happen is that they're going to just barely make it into heaven, and there's no good works. You're going to be rewarded according to your good works. And the degree of responsibility in heaven, how you spend eternity, how you're going to enjoy the good work, you know, the rewards, you will be rewarded according to your works. And that's why we need to do good works here on earth. To function. Function for God. Then on the other hand, the great white throne judgment. Let me share with you something. Those who do not believe in the Lord, they're going to spend eternity separated from God in hell. But even in hell, the Bible tells us, let me give you scripture, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Then, you know, the great white throne. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and earth and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." The book is the book of life. Your name was written in a book, you made it to heaven. If your name was not written in the book, you go to hell. But then also, aside from the book, are the books. And the books record all the good works or the bad works that we have done. And for those who will not spend eternity with God in hell, they will also be judged according to what they had done. And what happens is that wrath upon wrath upon wrath will be given to them for all the works that they have done wrong here on planet Earth. That's what the Word of God tells us. So in one sense, if you were kind of like an Adolf Hitler, your judgment will be much more severe in hell than somebody else that just merely, you know, did nothing, you know, did some minor whatever things, whatever. But we will all be judged. All of our works will be judged. And God is telling us, we better be careful. We need to function according to what He has given to each and every one of us and function properly. Some of us are more concerned about our IRA than our ERA. Our ERA is our eternal rewards account. And what we need to do here is see, and I try to put this all together, how we are formed by God, filled from God, function for God. Let me give you an example. We go through life, and your body's, your form changes. Whenever you're young, 5, 10 years old, you could run across a limb that was across a gully. Today, you will not do that. You go all the way around because your balance and everything is not steady or whatever. You cannot do what you used to do and all of that. There's not that energy and all of that. But you see, whatever form you're at, God is willing to fill you for you to function. Just recently, you know, going through all, I'm getting up there in age too and all of that, and it was incapacitated because of surgery and all of that in different, for a season of time. But what God had me do is, okay, you can feel sorry for yourself and go to a pity party. But what I decided to do is call up people who were going through the same struggles, like with cancer, with heart, gallbladder, whatever it is, perception, eyes. Call them up. Encourage them. Pray with them. Pray for them. That's part of the functioning that we need to do. And my challenge to you is this. God put you in better. You're not dead yet. You're not dead yet. So function. Function. Praise God. Formed by God. Say it. Formed by God. Filled from God. Function for God. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, oh Lord God, that our belief will determine where we spend eternity. But what we do, our works will determine how we spend eternity. We thank you so much for Westwall Christian Church, Pastor Stan Miyamoto, and the leadership here, oh God. Father, you're not done with us yet, Lord God. You formed this church. We may not be a big mega church here, Lord God, but Father, you formed this church. All of the people attending here formed this church, Lord. You put this church right here in Waipahu, oh God, for a reason and a purpose, Lord. And you fill this church with the giftings, the talent, the personality, the abilities, oh Lord God, the heart, oh Father, and their unique experiences, Lord Jesus, to make a difference. And now we ask you, oh God, cause us to function for you, oh God, so that others might know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that people all around this community, on this island, in this state, in this nation, and around the world, we know that there's something about this body of Christ that you have formed together, oh Lord God, for your honor and your glory. Your anointing, a fresh anointing daily, oh God, to get excited about serving you, oh Lord God, and worshiping you and exalting you, Lord God. Excited that you chose in each and every one of us, Father. Fill us with your power and your might, oh Lord God. Your presence, Lord Jesus, to do a work for you in a powerful way, oh Lord God, to impact this community. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray, oh God, for this church to go on to higher heights, oh Lord God, to see things that they've never seen before, oh God, to do churches they've never done church before, oh Lord God, to see you manifest your presence, your power, and your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's give God glory. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together and let's kind of go back to our childhood days.